I want to thank you for your support for this ministry. This ministry is all about souls. It's simple as that. Souls. I want to read the last report from the last village we did in Pakistan. Just little portions, and we kind of like put it so it's not broken up, but listen to some of these things. 198 souls got saved. And there was a kid, one kid, who were unable to speak from childhood, and Lord healed him. He started speaking, listen, Jesus' name, and he was 8 years old and said, Mama and Papa, never spoke before, just like that. And there was a woman who was paralyzed from one side. The Lord healed her, and she started moving properly, praising God. There was a lady who was suffering from the issue of pain in her chest. She reached the doctors, but nothing happened, and she got healed. And there were over 142 testimonies that took place of different healings in their body. Come on, give yourself a hand. If your support is not here financially and prayerfully for what goes on here, those things couldn't happen. One of the things that amazes me is I could preach a message about healing here in the States. I could preach the same message I do there, very simple, but yet we don't see the same results as we're seeing overseas. Why? Because they come with a simple childlike faith, believing without any question that God's word is true. They've never seen me before. I'm just now starting to see them. And as I'm watching them, I'm seeing their faces just change from, it seems to be, how can I say, like a fear almost. And then suddenly, the presence of God comes in and takes over. See, right where you are right now, bow your heads and begin to pray over your family. If you're alone, bow your heads and ask the Holy Spirit to minister to you right now, because God wants to touch you. He wants to touch you. Healing is coming right now into your house in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit is coming. The healing wings of Jesus Christ is coming right now into your life right now. He's touching you. Wherever your pain may be in your body, you touch that area right now. And the supernatural power of God, the healing power of Jesus, is an operation to touch you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shut everybody else off. Don't listen to anything else in your mind. Just close your eyes and begin to praise God. Just close your eyes and begin to praise Him, because God is bringing healing into your body in Jesus' name. Healing into your body in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Say, thank you, Jesus. Now you can start running around if you'd like to. That's fine. Amen. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to share the precious word of God, not only with those that go to Harvest Church, but those that are watching throughout the world who may just pick us up, some of our friends, other ministry friends, we don't know. But we ask this morning that the Holy Spirit come, make the word come alive inside of you, inside this preacher, as he brings the word of God. The Bible says, how will they know unless somebody tells them? How will they know unless the preacher says so? So we're still, believe it or not, over here in 2 Timothy 1:7. I was thinking the other day that this scripture verse may rival Mark 4. I don't know, but we're coming close. Amen. Listen to it now. In the translated version by Rick Renner, I love his book, The Gems, Gems 1. Listen, God has not given you a spirit of fear, and we're going back and rehearse a little bit here. If God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, it's got to come from another source. It's not God. Say that out loud with your voice. God doesn't give me fear. But be very honest with you. Fear is on the planet. Fear is not going away. It's always going to be there. But then as I get a little further in the message, you and I have a choice to make. I'll even give you some scriptures, and I think you may see it like you've never seen it before. Fear is a choice. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Listen to this now. It's powerful. But of power and of love, he's given you a mind that has been delivered, rescued, revived, salvaged, protected, and brought into a place of safety and security so that no longer is affected by illogical, unfounded, and absurd thoughts. My God, have mercy. That's what the word of God is all about. Well, where did this thing fear even bother to come in? It came in simply by disobedience. Disobedience brought fear to the planet because God spoke to Adam and Eve everything they had to hear. They didn't have to hear anything else. He was the source of all truth. He was the source of all truth. There was no other voice there. And then all of a sudden, she has a conversation with the serpent, And he said, did God really say? He was putting a question in her mind that made her begin to doubt about what God had said. Nothing's changed on the planet. The enemy right now is trying to ask questions of you. Did God really say that? Did his word really say that? And then suddenly, Eve made a choice. And then from the choice, she made a decision. See, the decisions we make today will be the decisions that make us tomorrow. The other day, I have a generator outside my house, and it wasn't running right, and I'm saying, something's going on right here. So I opened it up and looked at it and started it up, and I began to see sparks flying all over the place. I said, oh my, I must have a bad spark plug or wire or something like that. So I fixed it all up, and it was still sparking like there's no tomorrow. Now listen, fear had an opportunity to make entrance into my life. Oh my, the weather's getting colder. What if we have an ice storm? What happens if we lose power? What am I going to do? I've got this thing, a standby generator. I had a choice, either fear, or I had a choice to call the guy up who fixes it. Amen. Guess what I did? Rather than fear, oh my God, if we get snow, if we get ice, and what happens if somebody hits a telephone pole? All those things came into my mind, and here's what I did with them. Got rid of every one of them, and I said, let me call Joe up, amen. And when I called Joe up, he came over, and he said, well, it's the magneto. That's what's going on. I'm going to order you a couple. But you'll be without power with this backup generator until the parts come in and I can come over, hang on, and the weather gets a little bit warmer. I said, Joe, what's warm? He says, at least 30. I said, okay, here's another opportunity now for fear to come in. Well, what happens if it doesn't go for the next 2 weeks above 30? And what happens if the parts are delayed because of all that's going on? All the ifs came in and doubt tried to come in and cancel out, but I wouldn't let that happen because I began to speak the word. I began to hang out. I had choices, and then I made a decision based on those choices. Amen? Pastors, they're working today? No. Well, what happens if this happens? It doesn't matter because I'll stay warm one way or the other. God will supply my needs according to his riches and glory. You see, it happens on an everyday basis. We can fear if we choose to fear, or we can live rather by faith. Amen? Listen, faith. Now, if you don't mind, you got your Bibles there. Let's take a quick look at a couple of scripture verses. Go over to Matthew's gospel real quick. Matthew's gospel. That's a good place to start. And look at verse chapter 14 of Matthew. And look at verse 25. This is a story we've read so many times, you've heard it. The Bible says this in verse 25. And the fourth watch between 3 and 6 a.m. of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw them walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, and they screamed out, it must be a ghost. You see, fear was trying to come in. But instantly, Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. See, stop being afraid. If fear is a choice, you and I realize it came as a product of disobedience. Today, when fear tries to enter our life, you and I have to make a decision to let the word of God come out of our mouth. If we do so, then we're not in disobedience, but obedience. I'm going to get to this in a minute. Listen, David, when he came against Goliath, said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What he was doing was saying, I have a covenant, and all the aspects of the covenant I have with God are available to me. And out of his mouth, I often say this, got a preacher say it was powerful, your mouth is your address in the spirit. Your mouth and your words are your address in the spirit. David could have looked like all the Israeli army did, and when they saw Goliath and heard him, they ran one way, but David ran towards the circumstances, ran towards the problem, and some people were afraid of his size because he'll destroy us, but David looked at him and said, you're too big to miss, buddy. Listen now. Out of his mouth was the sword of the Spirit. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He was saying, who is this man? Does not have a covenant with the living God like I do. He didn't go with fear. He could have, but he recalled the covenant relationship that had been established by God. When you and I face fear today, it's there, it's everywhere, but I have to make a decision. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I have to make a decision not to operate in fear, but to operate in faith and believing God's word. Hello, believing God's word is true and it never changes. How did Goliath come down? He came down because a covenant had been established, a covenant that cannot change. See, God wants us to mature. David was 17. He had established a covenant so strong, and when you look back over his short-lived life up to that point, he had already taken out a few animals, am I right? Who did he take out? Help me out. A lion and a bear. He took them out. Goliath was nothing. I don't know about you, but it was nothing compared to what God had. Amen? The word of God is true today. It's powerful. Say powerful. Powerful. It ain't going anywhere at all. Now listen to this. I pull this out of the Passion Version. Verse 33. Those in the boat knelt down and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Isn't it nice to know people find out that he is the Son of God? Amen. Look at the verse right before it, because I believe you'll be surprised. When Jesus instantly, verse 31, reached out his hand, caught him, Peter, and him saying to him, listen, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, doubt comes before fear. Doubt wants to introduce us to fear. In the Passion Translation, it says, why, Jesus was saying this, why did you let fear win? I'm not going to let fear win. I choose not to let fear win. Pastor, do you have opportunities to do that? Absolutely, positively. But I have to make a decision and a choice, not based on what I'm hearing or what I'm seeing. Jesus said this, be careful what goes in your eye gate, what goes in your ear gate. One voice in the garden caused mankind to fall. Jesus Christ came and redeemed us back to our rightful place. Amen. You and I have too many voices today, too many opinions coming at us, and they're causing doubt to enter into our lives. Listen, enter into our lives and causing us to doubt the word of God. I came in the gym last night. I walk around the church and I stopped and put my head here right on this pulpit, and the Holy Ghost began to speak to me, and he said this to me, Abraham and Sarah. I started thinking about that, and I said, why did it take you so long, God, to give Abraham and Sarah what you told them, a son? 25 years is a long time. And the Spirit of God said this to me very clearly. It wasn't me that was delaying it. It was Abraham and Sarah, because they were talking about taking another direction and another route that didn't agree with my word. It was not held up by me. It was held up by their mouths. It was held up by what was coming out of their mouth. They began to doubt because, well, I'm too old. My wife's too old. When those kind of words come out and we say that about the word of God, well, I don't know how God could do that. And what happens if this happens? Our mouth needs to change and line up with the word of God. Now listen closely. He said this to me so clearly last night. He said, they delayed my answer. I believe without question that when you and I line up our prayers, saying the word back to God, there's no delay at all. No delay at all. I'm trying to think in my spirit. Oh my. Yeah. See, if you doubt faith, doubt will cause you to fear, and fear will bring failure. Wow. If we choose to operate in faith and don't doubt, then fear can't come, because fear will always bring failure. God's word cannot bring failure. Cannot bring failure and cause fear, and fear will bring failure. That doesn't belong in my life. It's not going to belong in yours. Listen closely. When Abraham finally matured in his spirit now, finally matured in his spirit, he got over challenging God and his word to him. Listen, stop challenging God by having other voices come in. Just like Eve heard one voice, Abraham heard one voice. she began to question what Abraham knew to be true, and he began to doubt, and doubt brought fear, and then all of a sudden, Abraham and Sarah made a decision to help God. God doesn't need our help. Last night as I was coming home with my wife, she said, "Did you see that?" I said, "Why?" "It's the moon." "I don't see the moon. It was hidden behind the trees because it was just coming up. It was very, very large. So I finally found the road where I could see it. It overwhelmed me. How did that moon get there? God put it there. What happens when the sun comes out? The moon disappears, but sometimes if you look, you may even see the moon while the sun is out. Well, how come that happened? I don't know, and I really don't care. What I do know is Jesus loves me. He cares about me, and he doesn't want me to operate my life in fear. I will not. It's a choice. Well, Pastor, that's easy for you to say. No, it's not. I'm a human being just like you are. I have to make choices on an everyday basis. Now, listen, this is what I heard when I put my head down this pulpit. Later on, when his son, Isaac, was about 17, God spoke to him, "I want you to offer up your son Isaac to me." Wow. And when the servants were left at the bottom of the hill, he said this, "We will be back." What changed in Abraham? What changed is that he matured in his walk with God to the point where he would take his only son. Listen, Abraham was about 117. So there's 100 years difference. He cooperated with his father because his father had been teaching him how to have faith in the living God. I taught my kids, I'm teaching my grandkids, their parents are teaching them how to operate not in fear, but to operate in faith, operate in the power of God's word. Listen now, he said, "We will be back." And he did not bring another sacrifice with him. If he was still the old Abraham, he would have brought just a backup in case. But he tied his son, and I like one verse that says, and he placed the wood in order. There was an order to the wood. I'm still working that one out in my spirit, man. Got to find out what it means. But just before he brought the knife down on his son, who was cooperating with him, he heard a noise. And he saw what? A sacrifice in the bushes making noise. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Something happened to Abram. He became Abraham. He changed not just with his name, but he changed in how he saw God, not to operate in fear, not to question God anymore. Things turned around. Things want to turn around in your life today where fear does not operate in your life, in your marriage, in your children, on your job. My God, do me a favor, would you? Go to the front door of your house, open up the front door, and escort fear out. Shut the door and don't ever let it back in your house, in your family, in anything. Are you hearing me this morning? Stop listening to all the voices out there. Start listening to the voice of the Spirit. If I have a question, I go to God and say, "What do I do?" What, remember, oh my, 2 Chronicles 20, do you remember? We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on what? On you. Don't let fear win. Listen now, when it comes to choices, I have this written down here. A choice is the right or power or opportunity to choose. But a decision is the act of making it up in your mind. Don't let fear come and make your decisions for you. Don't let it happen. I found a little interesting little poem. I think you'll like this. There's no evidence that robins get ulcers or rabbits have nervous breakdowns. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I do think that it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." Interesting. Psalm 104, it says this, 27. "These all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season." I still like to go off at exit 8 and I see all these different kinds of birds on the power lines and they're really close together. They're staying warm. They don't move. Why? They know the source of comfort. You and I have to know the source of comfort is only going to be found in the Word of God. Listen to me now. Not every preacher who's on Christian television you should be listening to, ask the Holy Spirit's the ones you should be, because some may be preaching a word that doesn't line up with the Word of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, go turn the thing off. Find something better. There are a whole bunch of preachers I used to listen to and my wife used to listen to. Little by little by little, the message had changed and we could no longer listen to them. We have more revelation coming as we spend time in the Word of God. God speak to us. Listen to me now. Remember the word we talked about, the Word of God? We said absolute. Absolute, I'm going to give you a couple of them, without any doubt. The Word of God being absolute without any doubt. So what will come in and cancel doubt, which is the advanced man for fear, is the Word of God. Let me try that again. It's the Word of God. Without any doubt and absolute, the word means without limits. It's something that's true all the time. I can't say that about me. You can't say that about you or other people we know, because there's always a human element in there that's a little bit different. The Word of God cannot, because it's an established covenant by the blood of Jesus Christ, that it can never, ever lie to you. It can never lie to you. It's going to speak truth to you. Are you listening to me? See, the Word of God has tried to been canceled out every generation. They've tried to take the Word out of circulation. Now, raise your right hand. Go like this. I will not look this information up while the pastor's preaching. No Google till after the service is over. Now, you just made a pledge. Listen to me now. There's a song we sing at Christmas time. And the song is The 12 Days of Christmas. Oh, what does that mean? I'm going to give you a couple of them. During the years from 1558 to 1829, the Catholics in England were forbidden to practice their faith openly. Interesting. So they came up with an idea to help the children and adults get the Word of God. Are you ready now? The true love. First, it's meaning God is continually in charge. Let me go down another one. Wow. The four calling birds, the four major prophets, and the four major prophets. Listen to this now. Number six, six geese a-laying. That refers to the 6 days of creation. Wow, interesting. Number 10, the 10 lords a-leaping represent the 10 commandments. You see, when the Word of God is trying to be shut down, it cannot and will not be shut down. Why? Because God's Word is absolute. It's never going to change. Man tries to change it, but it's not going to work. Don't be concerned about anything but the fact that God is still on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. Nothing's going to change. Fear is going to be here. It'll be here after the church is raptured, probably magnified even more, because what's holding back evil right now in this planet is the church of Jesus Christ. That's stopping it from going any further than it already is. Well, Pastor, did you hear this? No, I didn't. Well, somebody, I don't care what they said. I'm doing what Jesus said. Be careful what comes in your eye gate and be careful what comes in your ear gate. The Lord told me to do something a while back, and since I've taken that step of faith and done it, where I've shut all access to what's going on out there, hello, my life has changed because the anointing and power of God has increased. And after I made that choice, the opportunities have come to do Zoom calls like to Pakistan, where people have never heard the gospel, never heard the gospel. We got new pictures that just came in with our last meeting. We're going to start doing something so you can see the pictures. Men just with their arms up, women with their arms up, God supernaturally bringing salvation. They just asked us, can you send us more Bibles? Are you kidding? They're on their way. Why? Because people are hungry for the good news of Jesus Christ. When I heard that 2% of Pakistan are believers, the rest are not, I said, guess what? This is the challenge that needs to be met. You heard me often say this when I was in college. They said, where are you going to be going to minister? And as soon as I mention the Northeast, it still rings in my spirit. As soon as I mention the Northeast, the same phrase would come out. Well, you know, that's called the graveyard of preachers. See, I choose not to repeat what men said. Instead, I like to say what God said. Jesus raised the dead. If he raised the dead, then the cold Northeast, he'll raise people up from the dead, bring them into a right relationship with God. I can't listen to the words of men. If I did, I wouldn't be here today. I would have chosen a different path. But I heard the Spirit of God. I heard the Spirit of God say what he said. You go to the Northeast and you start yourself a church. My wife and I were reading the other day and she ran across something. I said, boy, honey, I would like to read that. Amen. Do you mind for a minute? Then we're going to close our time. This is from a man named Charles Capps. He's in heaven now, but he wrote this in 1973, August. Listen to what it says because it fits today right where we are. Listen. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, if men would believe me, long prayers are not necessary. Just speaking the word will bring what you desire. My creative power is given to man in word form. That's why I said what that preacher said. Our mouth is our address in the spirit. Our mouth is our voice. Our mouth is the address in the spirit. What's going to come out of your mouth and my mouth is going to dictate what's going to happen with doubt and fear. Don't let fear win. Don't let fear win. Don't make that an option anymore. Don't let it take place. Fear is a choice. Fear is a choice. Fear is a choice. I have to make that choice every day. You have to make that choice every day. I choose to believe God's word. I choose to keep faith alive and not let doubt bring along fear, because fear will bring failure in my life. Amen? Glory to God. I have ceased for a time from my work and have given man the book of my creative power. That power is still in my word. It's still in the word. It's not going away. It's absolute. For it to be effective, man must speak it in faith. There it is. Jesus spoke it when he was on earth, and it worked out then, and it'll work out now. But it must be spoken by the body of Christ. Man must rise up and have dominion. Same way God told him in the Garden of Eden, have dominion over the power of evil by my words. If we speak the word of God by faith, doubt will tell fear that it's going to have to go, and it'll drag failure behind it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen now. It is my greatest desire that my people create a better life by the spoken word. That means there's a better life by staying with this says, he'll meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, your Goliaths are going to show up every day, but they're too big to miss. I'm telling you, the mountains will be before us on a daily basis, but I learned this along the way in life, that mountains don't have a voice. We do. We can tell the mountain to be thrown into the sea, but the mountain cannot talk to us and tell us to get thrown out. The word of God is more powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Glory to God. I think I'm preaching myself happy. For my word has not lost its power just because it has been spoken once. It is still equal as powerful today. And when I said, let there be light, nothing's changed with the word. It's an absolute. There's no doubt in the word. But my word, to be effective, men must speak it. This book, this rhema, this logos, unless it's spoken by faith, will lie dormant. The Bible says Israel, because they didn't mix faith with the word of God, they didn't get where God was taking them. You've got to take faith and you've got to mix it, my God, with the word of God. Say hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. We'll go a little further. That creative power will come forth performing that which is spoken in faith. My word is not void of power. If you know anything about this gentleman, my God, powerful man of God. He's a farmer. God used him supernaturally. My people are void of speech. This is where I was a few months ago. They hear the world and speak as the world speaks. That's 40, almost 50 years ago he said this. They hear what the world is saying. And then what happens? They speak what the world's saying. You see, that is a choice, and that choice will bring about a decision to allow fear to rush on in. No, it's a choice. I can only speak of me. My wife can only speak of herself. We have both made a decision, listen, not to let fear have access, because our choice is going to first be the Word of God. We are not going to listen to all the voices that are out there that are trying to rush on in. If one voice in the garden could take out humanity, all the voices that are out there on social media, through all the politicians and every other way you and I can hear it, will cut off the Word of God and leave us in a wilderness in our mind, and we will know how to get out. God have mercy. I choose not to live in stress. There were times in my life I was so stressed out in the ministry that it actually took me out of the ministry for a while. I had to regroup. You know why? I was listening to too much from too many directions, but then I made a decision. No outside voices will call the Word of God to account. The Word of God will account those voices. Amen. And there's going to be a reckoning. A day of reckoning's coming to all those voices that are coming against the Word of God. You and I are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. Don't let what's going on out there and all those voices determine your direction, determine what life is going to be. You make the decision. You make the choice. Let me wrap this up. Amen. They even speak that which the enemy says, and they destroy their own inheritance by corrupt communication, listen, of fear and unbelief. Fits today. No word of mine is void of power, only powerless when it's unspoken. The Word of God is not void of power. It's only when we don't speak it by faith. Speak it by faith. Well, I did that, Pastor, and nothing happened. Remember one guy said to me years ago, you know, I tithe for 1 week and nothing happened. This is a lifestyle. When the Bible says love unconditionally, that's a lifestyle. You don't do it once instead of double, doesn't work. Are you kidding me? No. When I found out the principles, listen, of stewardship and that 10% of my income belongs to God, I said, no way. God said, trust me with a dollar. I gave a dollar. Then I gave $2. Now I give far greater than I earn. Why? Because I found out the simple principle, listen, of my God of stewardship, that if you put something in the ground with your mouth, you put those words out, it's going to multiply. You can't stop it. You can't slow it down. The world's situation, the world talks this way, buy it and then sell and make some money. No, no, that principle will work for a while, but then you'll wind up losing money. In the kingdom of God, kingdom principles, sowing and reaping is stewardship. Hallelujah. God's word is only void when it remains speechless and doesn't come out of our mouth. Amen. No word of mine is void of power, only powerless when it's unspoken. Say, that's never going to happen to me. I'm going to speak the Word of God by faith. I don't have to understand it. I just have to be obedient to the Word of God. Don't forget, disobedience brought fear. Disobedience brought fear. When there's an issue in your life, physical, whether you got to pay some bills, no matter what it is, listen, speak the Word of God. You don't have to understand it, but grab a hold of the fact that God's authority, His Word, is infallible. It means it's not going to change, never change. There's no doubt when you speak the Word of God. Amen? Here we go now. As there is creative power in my spoken word, so there is evil power present in the words of the enemy to affect and oppress everyone that speaks them. But if we choose to believe the Word of God, which usurps its authority over evil, because Satan's already defeated, hello, you and I can live a life that's full of peace and of power and a sound mind. My God, don't let what everybody's saying get into your spirit, man. It's the soulish realm that cannot rule your life. Abraham and Sarah, let the soulish realm, hello, mind, will, and emotions, their five senses rule, and it got them into a delay for God's word. Stop it right now. Stop it right now. If you're on social media, that's your business. But make sure you find a balance in everything you do in life. I hear people, well, did you hear this? A snowstorm coming? They're already living in fear. It's still sunny out. It hasn't snowed. But what if it does? If it does, this is winter in the Northeast. That happens. If it snows, you move the snow, and then the sun comes out. I was driving last week, and there was a bad snowstorm, and you could barely drive even on the interstate. And as I was driving, I said, Holy Ghost, just direct me and guide me. And here's what he said to me. Tomorrow, you won't even know that it snowed. I said, you're right. We live in the Northeast, and the roads are plowed so nice, so beautifully, that the next day it's like, it snowed last night? We've got to realize that when storms come, the Holy Ghost is already working to salt the road, to put down the plows. And when you wake up for a new day, you'll say, there was a storm yesterday? That's how it works with the Word of God. He's already plowing up the evil. Amen? I'm going to wind this up. Wow. Be not conformed, but be transformed in the body of faith, knowing that my words are alive forevermore. Believe it, speak it, obtain that your joy may be full, you shall be complete in me. Wow. These truths changed my life. That's what he said about himself, and I say the same. I have never been the same. Here's how he closes. Confess victory in the face of apparent defeat. Confess abundance in the face of apparent lack. It all takes place here. James says this, that the tongue is a very small member of the body, but it's like the rudder of a ship. It's like a match that can start a forest on fire. You understand that? God's word can cancel out if we speak it by faith. I've made a decision. I don't understand it. I don't understand why I'm standing behind this pulpit. My choices were to be far away from God and from the ministry. I had had it. But God said, no, I called you to do what I've asked you to do. And if you want to put yourself on a shelf, that's your business. But I'll never find happiness outside of God's purpose and plan for my life. I thank God that I did. I thank God I married the right woman. I thank God my children have grown up in a godly manner, that they have godly wives and godly children. I thank God for that. It didn't come overnight. It came by speaking the word of God. When you pray and use your mouth and speak what the Word of God says and begin, my God. Next week, I'm going to give you five things that'll take fear and kick it out the door. So get ready to open up your door again. We love you. God bless you. Listen to me. If you're watching this message, you're watching this service, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you, cares about you, wants the very, very best for you. And if you need Christ in your life, you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that Jesus can forgive your sins. It's already been done and promised. Say this prayer with me. Jesus, I heard your name mentioned today. I hear other people mention your name. But today, I believe God has touched my heart that I need to make a determination right now. Oh, hold on a minute. Some of you that are watching go to Harvest Church, and the Holy Spirit said this very clearly to me. Ask the parents to ask their children if Jesus is in their life. Ask them if they've made a confession with their mouth, Jesus, come into life and forgive me of my sins. There's some of your children that need to be confronted now in love and say, have you made that decision? Being brought up in mom and dad's house and going to church isn't going to do it for you. You got to make a decision with your mouth. You say the sinner's prayer with them, God's going to bring salvation into your home, into your children, and he's going to bring a supernatural power of peace and of love into your house. Amen. We love you and appreciate you. If you've asked Christ into your life, find a good Bible-believing church. Amen. If you live locally, come visit us. Check us out on soldoutforjesus.com. We love you. Have a great, great day. Thank you.